Well, hello again, everyone. Can you believe it's 2017? Roz and I were talking before, and I told the last group this too, that seems like yesterday we were both thinking the same thing, that it seemed like just yesterday we were worried about Y2K, you know, in the year 2000, and here it is 17 years later, and we're not worried about that anymore, but here we are, and it's good to see you. There's a story of a woman who went to her doctor's office, and she was seen by one of the new doctors, but after about 4 minutes in the examination room, she burst out of the doctor's office, or out of the examination room, just crying and screaming and running down the hall. And an older doctor stopped her and asked her what was going on, and she explained to him, and then he sat her down in another room to get relaxed and to get herself together. And the older doctor marched back into the first doctor's examining room, and he says, "What's the matter with you?" And Mrs. Terry is 63 years old. She has 4 grown children, 7 grandchildren, and you told her she's pregnant? The new doctor just smugly smiled and continued writing on his clipboard. He says, "But are hiccups gone?" Most of us don't like harsh surprises. Most surprises we like are subtle and things that we hope will come true. I was pleasantly surprised when I asked Debbie 39 years ago if she would be my wife. Actually, it was probably 40 years ago that I asked, but we've been married 39 years. But anyway, I was pleasantly surprised when she says yes, and I was pleasantly surprised to hear Debbie announce the news that we were going to have each of our 4 children, especially the way she did the last one. We were shopping in Sam's Club, and I was looking for a particular brand of pancake mix that I wanted to get, and she says, I don't feel like I want that kind of pancake mix. I said, "Well, why?" She says, "Because I'm pregnant." And so there in the middle of Sam's Club, she announced the fact that she was pregnant with our last child. But probably the biggest surprise that was really pleasant in my life was to experience the reality of God when I received him into my life. This was real. Everything else was real in that when I was explaining to you, but this was real. It wasn't something I just thought about God being out there somewhere. Something happened. There was excitement. And I don't think there's any other passage in the Bible that better explains this wonderful news than the prologue of John's gospel. Many of us may have favorite passages in the Bible for whatever reason. Maybe it spoke to you at a certain time in your life when you were going through certain things in your life. Maybe it describes the ministry that you have a heart for or been involved with. Whatever the reason. I have several that I really like, of course. All of it's good, but I have several that I really like. But this passage is right up there in the top of some of the passages that I like. In my sermon on Christmas Eve, I kind of took people through, if you were here, through the history of the magnitude of the event that God was coming to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And that is what John basically is doing in this prologue of his gospel. It is rich and it's describing just who Jesus is. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." If we go back and read Genesis, we see how God created the heavens and the earth and brought light into the darkness. And out of chaos, he created something beautiful with purpose. Look at the heavens and look at life. God did something wonderful. I had a discussion with one of our young parishioners a few weeks back, who was doing a paper on supporting Christianity working in hand with science. Can it be done? This person thought it could be, and so do I. I think it is. I think science, in fact, enhances in some ways the reality of our Christian faith. Science helps us discover a lot of things and is beneficial to learn. But even science gets down, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of where life comes from, it cannot be explained. You get down to, where does life enter a living thing, whatever it is? Yet it exists. John says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God spoke his word, and it came to pass. God created life, and he created man and woman, and the Spirit was in them. They were to live a life that was above all other creatures on earth. He gave them intelligence and the ability to grow and to discover as they grew. And that is no mistake. That's something special. As I said a few weeks ago, when you look at the incredible odds of any of this just be randomly happened by happenstance, the odds are incredibly off the charts of that happening by mistake or by just happenstance. And on top of that, he gave us the incredible gift to choose. He gave us a free will. God gave this gift because he wanted a people to choose to be in fellowship with him. And even though there were this separation through choosing to rebel against God, God's word always has been. He was in the beginning with God. And through the centuries, through the numerous words of prophets, as God is calling us, his God calling us back. And Jesus was in all of that. Jesus knew history. He saw it unfold. Jesus also knew that at the right time, in the right place, he would become one of us. And this is where John becomes passionate about his proclamation. Jesus was in the beginning. He was at the fall of man. He saw history unfold. And John writes this, and the word becomes flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, John is emphasizing what they experienced. This is real to them, not just a story, not just a bunch of rules. God is real. He came to us. This breaks all the barriers of man's religious beliefs. No other faith can claim those words, because there is only one creator, and he came only once for the redemption, and he will come again for judgment. God is a relational God who desires us to have a unique personal relationship with his people. He isn't a God that we have to work our way to. He isn't a God that requires all kinds of knowledge to get there, like the Gnostics believe. He's a God who came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he wanted to make right what was wrong with mankind. He wanted to create a way that we can get back to the Father and do it as a matter of choice. From the very beginning, Christ has been a part of the Godhead, the Trinity. He is the Word made flesh. But look what else John says. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right, or the power, as some translations say, to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now think about that for a moment. God has given this power to become children. What an honor and blessing and privilege that is. That's not something that comes automatically, as some New Age theology teaches. It is something given to us as we receive him into our lives. John says, all who receive him, all who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. There has to be an act of faith. There has to come an act of calling on his name. There has to be a birthing in our spirit that turns away from sin and towards God. Salvation is not just words that we say. It is a turning of the heart from one direction and saying, I'm going to go in this direction towards God. That leads right to the arms of Jesus. Paul emphasizes this in our epistle reading today. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, they wrote in the masculine form. That means everybody. And because you are sons or daughters, God has sent the Spirit to us of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The other day, I was watching one of those neat homecomings of the military dad who came home from overseas for Christmas. And in this particular event, the dad was dressed up as Santa Claus, and he was greeting the children at his son's classroom, who was probably first, second grade. When his son came up to see him, he started taking off his hat, and then he took off his beard, he took off his eyelashes, and then the surprise of the son as he ran into his dad's arms and said, Daddy, that's what God wants from us. With Christ in our lives, our cry out is God. It's like crying out to Dad, Daddy, Father, Abba. That's how close God wants us to be with him. But sometimes even Christians can push God away to keep him at a distance. Some are afraid for whatever reason, and there could be many. But God wants to change that, and he wants to mold us into something beautiful. Isaiah 64:8 says, Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter, we are the work of your hand. And using that metaphor, a potter will take a pile of dirt or clay and make something beautiful out of it. And out of that pile of dirt comes something special. A work that is special and now has purpose. And that's exactly what God does for us. And God wants to reach into those areas of our lives and begin to mold something beautiful out of it. And he takes the old and makes something new. Do you believe that? There's no doubt that Adam and Eve were created perfect and in God's image. There's no doubt that we are created in Adam's image, as Genesis 5 tells us. With that comes inherited sin. We have taken on the sin nature. But God wants to do much more in our lives. He wants us to become his children. He has provided an opportunity for redemption. And John speaks of this as light. Jesus brings light, which is new life, where there was once darkness, which is life without him. John is passionate about what has taken place. He's passionate because he says, we've seen his glory. In his epistle, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John is reflecting on a lot of things here. He's seen the Lord. He has experienced the Lord. He has witnessed the Lord. He was on that mountain when Jesus was transfigured. But beyond that, they have now also experienced a heart change when the Holy Spirit descended on them at Pentecost. A reversal of the old way of struggling with to find God and moving into experiencing God here and now. That's why, despite all the opposition life gave to the apostles, John and the other disciples, they never lost their passion. That which they knew made them complete. The Word made flesh, Jesus. And that Word comes alive in us as well. God's Word doesn't change. His Word never changes. He put all things in their courses for our benefit. He has given us an opportunity to live and move in that order under his direction. I want to encourage you to allow the Word to come alive in you. Allow the Word to fill you with all that the Father has for you. Allow the Word to saturate to the very core of your being. Allow the Word to flow out of you as you turn more and more of your life over to him. The Word made flesh still dwells among us. and by his life-given Spirit will transform you and use you in wonderful ways. That's why our prayer should be, Lord, give me your word. Lord Jesus, I receive you. Allow me to learn from you. Allow me to grow in you. Allow your Spirit to fill me with your presence. Then see what he will do through each of us as we seek more of him in our lives. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that became flesh, Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that you want to do in and through each of us. So, Lord, I ask that you would just saturate us with your presence, that you would use us, that we would go out of this place just filled with your presence, Lord God, excited about what you want to do, passionate about what you want to do through each of us. So, Lord, I ask that you would just encourage us from that fire inside of us that you have planted there, that you would just use us, Lord God, in mighty ways. And we thank you for all that you want to do in and through this place and through the body of Christ throughout the world, Lord God, where people are moving, people are hungry, people are searching, and you have given your church the power to do what you've called us to do, to go and make disciples, to go and heal the sick, go and pray for those who are in need. So, Father, I ask that you would use this parish to your will, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.